This podcast is from the IDPF Digital Book 2012 Conference at Book Expo America.
I'm going to now welcome our final keynote track speaker. And this next speaker is a gentleman who lives in PowerPoint. Michael Tamlin, the Chief Marketing Officer of Kobo, famously said by Mike Schatzkin, who curates Digital Book World and some other conferences, nobody gives you data like Michael Tamlin. So I want to welcome now Michael Tamlin, Kobo.
I am, as previously announced, Michael Tamlin. I'm in fact Executive Vice President of Content Sales and Merchandising for Kobo, which means our head of marketing can breathe easy again. Kobo was born in 2009 with a vision. We wanted to take everything that we knew and loved about reading experiences, everything that we treasured about books, and pull that from the past in order to define the reading experience of the future. And we had this bizarrely outrageous, audacious goal that in 5 years, as many as 10% of books would be read in digital. When we started in 2009, 90 days later, we all blew past that goal, and now we're looking more at something like sort of 50% by 2014. In just over 2 years, we have brought together about 8 million users in about 190 countries. We have one of the largest book catalogs in the world. But when we started, it all seemed very simple. We lived here, and all of the e-books were here. And that meant that we could really only focus on kind of this area right here. And that seemed to make a lot of sense. So we could focus on the U.S. and Canada. And then we discovered that, that there were, in fact, e-books that were in English that we could sell other places, which led us to expand into Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom as well. And for most of 2009, 2010, that's what we spent our time doing as one of the first international e-book stores in the world. But we didn't stop there. And so what we found was pockets of and concentrations of digital content and digital readers in other territories, and have over the last couple of years been chasing those around ever since. This talk is called More, Better, Faster, the Global Race for International Ebook Retailer, which would suggest that there is only one race going on, when in fact, as far as I can tell, there are probably about four. They're all being run simultaneously. They're not necessarily kind of happening in the same direction. Sometimes one will make the others go faster. Sometimes one will slow the others down. But it's all about ebook retailers and what we're having to do as we start to move globally. And along the way, I'll kind of talk a little bit about some of the things we've learned as we've gone from market to market. But mostly, this is about these races. How is the move outside of that English language market into new and international markets being fueled and pushed and accelerated forward? So, a number of races. One of them certainly is a race for new languages beyond the English that was kind of the cradle of commercial ebook sales. When we started in 2009, we had one language. It was English. About halfway through last year, we were probably 25, 26 different languages. In January of this year, we had 52. In June of this year, we had 69. And they are practically everything you can possibly imagine. And this gives a very sort of flat look at all of the languages that we have. If we look at it proportionally to the number of titles, it probably looks more like this. English still predominates, is still by far the largest that we have in the collection, but French, German, Japanese, Korean, and Chinese are all on the rise. And then Russian, Spanish, Polish, Portuguese, Hebrew, and others also beginning to gain ground. And this is kind of the shape and texture of the catalog that we've managed to bring together. And there are any number of challenges involved in trying to bring a catalog of all of these different languages into one place. How do we search them? How do we make them discoverable? How do we create browsing experiences that will work when some countries have standardized subject code classifications? Some do not. Sometimes that's been the responsibility of the retailer to create. Sometimes it's come from the publisher. We have to bring all of this into a single store in a single database and make it discoverable. We've also been surprised by the number of publishers who may have a German catalog, may have a French catalog, may have a Spanish catalog, who aren't making full use of the global rights that they have. So they may have global rights to all of their German titles, but are saying, you know, for now, I would just like to sell them in Germany. Even though we know there are great populations of German speakers in the U.S., in Argentina, in other markets around the world where we could also find markets for those books. So being able to make these books discoverable, be able to sell them around the world, is one of the things that we are taking great pains to do as we move from one language into many. And that's before we get into some of the intricacies of working in Japanese and Chinese and Korean, where we start to work with double byte languages, we start to work with right-to-left reading, with vertical text, and right-to-left paging. And we do that in markets where there generally wasn't EPUB available, where we were looking at a host of file formats that were really particular to individual markets. So whether it's XEB, CEB in China, DOTBook and XMDF in Japan. And so, you know, for that, especially here in front of the IDPF, let me say, you know, thank you, EPUB 3, because now we have a global standard that we can use for vertical and right-to-left display. We can do a sophisticated layout like Ruby's in Japanese. We can do tables and bullets and indenting. We can do right-to-left paging, and we can do it across tablets. We can do it across smartphones. We can do it across our own e-ink devices. And so not only is it good that we now have a common standard across all of these countries that we can start to make use of, but it also means that things like Japanese content, Chinese content, can start to be used in e-reading infrastructure that was developed in other countries. So whereas before we had individual pools of content sort of tied in and trapped in particular countries with their own proprietary standards, now those are starting to break out and find distribution in other markets around the world. And so, you know, there are people that have been driving this for years, and we're just sort of sitting on the back of that, whether it's, you know, Access and Voyager in Japan, our parent company Rakuten, who has been, you know, pushing us and supported us in taking up EPUB 3 for the Japanese market. It's been a very interesting move out of Western languages and into some of these more sophisticated schemes. So that's one race that's going on, the race for languages and bringing new languages into catalogs. There is also a race for new content types and better reading experiences than we had before. You know, the move into illustrated work and from e-ink and into tablet. If we look at digital versus print share of purchase, what we're looking at in this chart is the degree to which a given category over or under indexes in digital versus print. So we see a higher percentage of romance, for example, being bought in digital than is in print, but a lower proportion of juvenile fiction or cooking or juvenile nonfiction or comics and graphic novels in digital. And a lot of that because this market has come out of e-ink and is now just starting to move into tablets, but also because it's been relatively difficult to get some of this content available for digital sale. There's certainly been a confusion of file format types. There have been proprietary file formats from individual retailers. There have been a variety of flavors of fixed layout EPUB. There's KFA, there's iBooks Author. And so again, we're very excited to throw our support behind EPUB 3 for all of these different applications as well. Okay. So we can do things like complexly formatted academic works, where we're not trying to embed mathematical formulas into books anymore. We can do more sophisticated layouts in graphic novels and manga. One of our own developers, after having fought with his EPUB copy of Dune for the last 2 years, hacked together a glossary of all of the terms in Dune and embedded it into a new version of EPUB 3. We'll license that back to the publisher at the end of this conference. But it means that all of these things that we're used to or expecting to have available in digital formats is now starting to come around with EPUB 3. The one thing that we do need, though, is we need more sample EPUB 3 from publishers. We have some publishers right now who are saying, you know, we'll wait until we fully developed, until you, Kobo, have fully developed your EPUB 3 specification, and then we'll work from there. And the challenge, of course, in EPUB 3, as in anything else, there are six different ways to do anything. In EPUB 3, we want to work with publishers to make the choices on what we support. And so while we have some publishers who are taking a wait-and-see approach to EPUB 3, we have some, like Wiley and Hachette, who are saying, you know, we're going to try some stuff out. We'll do some small samples. We'll do some short books. We'll send those to you. What do you think? And that's been kind of going back and forth now for a couple of months. And what this has actually meant, quite quietly, without anyone really noticing, is that Wiley and Hachette are going to end up defining what retailers support in EPUB 3, just because they have been cranking out sort of short samples and short experiments over the last number of months. And so we would love to see more publishers taking this approach. More publishers starting to run small experiments in EPUB 3, and to bring this back to the global and international perspective for a second, not just here in North America, but also in France and Germany and Netherlands and Spain. Once we start to build this support in, this is going to be much more difficult to change. We really want to see publishers from a number of different markets start to make some experiments, make some sort of small and very confined investments to figure out how they would like EPUB 3 to run so that we can support that. So that's another race that's going on. There is certainly a race for self-published content and direct author relationships between ebook retailers like ourselves and authors. And on this stage last year, I got into some trouble with my company for breaking press embargoes on new announcements. I've promised not to do that, so please wait for more news this week on that. There is a race for device customers going on right now on both e-ink and color tablets around the world. There's a very simple reason for it. A customer on your own device buys more often, reads more quickly, is much more loyal, and is worth more. And where device sales go, so goes ebook market share. And so the goal of all of us competing in this space is to get devices into people's hands. So going into being in your home market is relatively easy. People know who you are. But what happens when you want to leave your market and start to go into a new country where your brand is less well known? Doing that direct acquisition and brand building can be slow and expensive. And so companies like Kobo and now others are starting a race for new territory expansion and retail partnerships. And this is a very quiet thing that those of us who spend most of our time here in New York probably haven't spent a lot of time thinking about. We're thinking a lot about DOJ. We're thinking a lot about sort of the shape and texture of the U.S. market. But there is, in fact, a very wide globe-spanning, low-intensity conflict going on right now, country by country, as ebook retailers start to look at how they can move outside of their home markets and into new ones. And a lot of it is being driven by the degree to which we can find partnerships through retailers to enter those new markets. And this is something Kobo's done a lot of in the US and Canada with Indigo, in Australia with retailers there, in Hong Kong and UK with WH Smith, in Germany, in France with Fnac, in Netherlands with Libris. Our model has been to move into new countries through retail relationships. And why would we do that when we're an ebook retailer? Because there are three things that every person, when they're first looking to adopt an e-reader and buy into a new system, have to reconcile themselves with. So they are in a book retail, they're in a bookstore that they trust. There is the possibility to pick up a device and try it out. And then there's the ability for them to be supported through that transition, maybe through that first purchase or with customer support, or even just to be holding it and look at it in an environment filled with books that they know and love. So our ability to create new relationships with ebook retailers, with physical retailers around the world, is a very important part of how we sell. And it's where the most valuable book buyers are, and we like that. So we know that the most valuable customers come from bookstores, and we also know that enabling a bricks and mortar retailer and bringing them to digital kind of has its own skill set around it. So it's not just about bringing in devices, it's not just about integrating to a website, it's all of the details that makes it possible for a retail partner to be successful. And why is this important? It's important because while we're running a race against our competitors in various markets around the world, traditional retailers are also running their own race. Bricks and mortar retailers are trying to figure out if they can preserve their customers and their brand and their market share as digital players arrive. And it's getting harder and harder to do so. The expectations on digital services are now very high. The investments are very big. And what that has resulted in is a race for partnership. So any national book chain, any significant market share player in any of the territories around the world where ebooks are not currently active is looking for a full-featured ebook solution, is trying to figure out how to navigate their store, their chain, their retail group through this. And you know, this is going to be kind of the most fascinating thing about the next year, because retailers will either have figured this out in time for this next holiday season, or will find themselves under continuing and increasing pressure as consumers begin to drift from print to digital. So we're seeing that as we move from country to country. We're helping where we can, but we think it means that this next holiday season and the year immediately following is going to be a truly transformative one, both for ebook retailers and for physical book retailers around the world. Thank you.